You have already heard the sermon text for today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So let's begin, dear friends in Christ. One of the things that I will often get asked by the kids in confirmation class, usually when we cover the sixth commandment, usually every other year, every third year, sometimes the question will come up when the teenagers are talking about things, and it comes up in one of their topical discussions. It's the question that goes like this, Pastor Com, how far can I go on a date physically before it's wrong, before it's a sin? I don't mind the question, actually, because I'm grateful that our young people actually genuinely want to know what God's Word says about boundaries for their dating life. And even on top of that, we all know that the sinful world that we live in, that the culture in which we live, they want to answer the question for our young people too. They want to answer the question by saying, there are absolutely no restrictions to anything that you do. As long as you don't hurt anybody else, everything is fine. Because our culture always wants to protect their own sinful desires, especially when it comes to sex and marriage or sex and no marriage. Everybody in this sinful world wants to protect their own sinful sexual desires. At all costs, you have to do that. Even they would say if you have to get an abortion from time to time, even if you have to risk getting a sexually transmitted disease from time to time, you protect those rights at all costs. And we know why they say those things, right? It's because the world that we live in oftentimes plays by a whole different set of rules, right? A whole different set of principles. I put some of these things up on the screen, up on the wall for you. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. It's a nice way to start talking about things. Just the way that the world thinks, that the kind of world that we live in. Our culture would say, look, people are generally good. They're good people. And if you get two really good consenting adults doing anything that really isn't hurting anybody, well, then what they do shouldn't just be tolerated, it should be celebrated. Or they would say, look, what we're talking about here is just a bodily function, after all. It's a natural thing. It's a necessary thing. There really shouldn't be any restrictions with those types of things. Right? And quite frankly, they would say, it's a fun thing to do. Everybody's doing it. Just get over it already. The way that our world thinks, they would always say, instant gratification is always better than delayed satisfaction. Instant gratification is always better than delayed satisfaction, like God would say regarding sex and marriage. And that, for that reason, they would say, having sex before marriage, that is legitimate. That's legitimate. In fact, that's preferable. That is preferable if you are thinking about marriage. Of course you would start sleeping together before you're married. That's just what everybody does to see if you're compatible and all those sorts of things. If I would ask you, what is the most sinfully progressive city that you could think of? The most sinfully permissive city when it comes to sexual sins, things like that, what city would come to mind? If you can't think of anything, I put a list here on the screen. This is from CBSNews.com. They did a research survey about the most sexually permissive cities in America. I threw Thessalonica at the bottom because that's what we're talking about today. But those other ones, that's from their list. So you got Houston, San Diego, Denver, San Francisco, San Bernardino, and Thessalonica. So if you choose from that list, which one is number one on your mind? There is a clear-cut winner. Hands down, there's a clear-cut winner. It is Thessalonica, back in the Apostle Paul's day, oh my goodness, they were bombarded with sexual temptations. Sexual sins were rampant everywhere. Back in Paul's day, in the pagan Greek culture, it was far worse than anything you would even find in our society here in America. For example, adultery. Adultery wasn't something that just happened or that you'd find from time to time. It was commonplace. There was a man, a Greek leader named Demosthenes. This is what he wrote. "We keep mistresses for pleasure, concubines for our day-to-day bodily needs, but we have wives to produce legitimate children and serve as trustworthy guardians of our homes." For many of the Greek religions, prostitution was actually part of their worship. Do you know that? Prostitution was actually part of their worship because they thought that if they would engage in those practices with the prostitutes for worship, they would have a better connection and communion with the false god that the prostitute was representing. Could you imagine if we would announce that part of our strategic initiative for our congregation was to recruit more prostitutes for worship? It wouldn't go over very well, would it? Nor should it, right? The point being, the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about. He was confronted with the same sexual permissiveness in his culture, in his day, as we are in ours. And that is why the Apostle Paul's words today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they're very clear and very powerful. Because what the Apostle Paul did was he outlined three questions. He answered three questions that Christians would often have as they try to resist sexual sins. The first question went like this. What exactly does God want? That's a legitimate question, right? If you think about those the false logic that we had on that first or second slide, what exactly does God want from me as far as my sexual conduct is concerned? Paul answered the question very clearly. This is what he said. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. The Greek word in the original text for avoid means exactly the same thing that avoid means in the English language. It means to be distant from something. It means to keep away from something as far as you can get away from it. The Greek word for sexual immorality in the lesson from the original text, that means to have sexual intimacy with someone who is not your spouse. Sexual intimacy with someone who is not your spouse. Do you remember from the gospel lesson today when Pastor Burgess read that? Jesus himself expanded on that portion of our Christian life. Jesus said, even if you look at somebody lustfully in your heart, you are sinning against the Lord. Even if you just look at them with lust in your heart. Paul was clear. He was clear. What God wants is for us to be pure in our thoughts, in our words, and our actions. And yet we know. We know how easy it is for the devil to attack and to put those temptations right there in front of us, and how easy it is for people, even ourselves, especially ourselves, to fall to those temptations. Did you know the pornography business is a multi-billion dollar industry these days? Multi-billion dollar industry. The devil has made it so that you can actually get pornography pumped right into your home, in the privacy of your home, on your own personal computer. You don't have to go anywhere. Nobody has to see you buying anything. You can just have it right there on your own personal computer in the privacy of your own home. You can get an app on your phone and take it along with you everywhere you go. And it's all for free, free of charge. The devil will make all of these things available all the time so that he could destroy you, your family, your relationships, even your children. From the inside out, Paul was clear. He said what God wants is purity. Purity in our thoughts, our words, our actions. Or I suppose if you want to even simplify it even more, if you want to answer the question, what exactly does God want as far as my sexual conduct is concerned? Well, God says the only sexual union that I really approve of is one man, one woman who are married to each other. Anything beyond that union, anything beyond that picture, avoid it. Avoid it no matter what. Second question that Paul answered for today went like this. How am I supposed to do that? How exactly am I supposed to remain sexually pure? How am I supposed to, as a Christian, have this Christian morality in the world as far as sexual conduct is concerned? Amid all of the thoughts and philosophies and the sights and the sounds of a fallen, sinful world, the Apostle Paul offered two timeless truths, two principles, you might say, two timeless principles that help a person continue to remain sexually pure in a sinful world. The first principle would go like this. The body should not control the Christian. The body should not control the believer. St. Paul put it this way, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Now that message fundamentally is altogether different than what the world says, right? As long as you don't hurt anybody, you can do anything that you want. But the Apostle Paul said that we should control our body in a holy way. And the definition for holy is to be absolutely, totally dedicated to God Himself. And in his letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reminded us, look, you don't even own your own body. Remember that? You don't even own your own body. God purchased us. He bought us back from sin, body and soul. So Paul said, honor God. Bring honor to God with how you treat your body, with what you do with your body. The second principle sounds like this. The believer should not act like the unbeliever. The believer should not be acting like the unbeliever. Paul put it this way in our lesson, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Paul warns us against passionate lust. Now, passionate lust is not just having the desire for sexual intimacy in your life. That's actually a good thing that God put inside each one of us. Passionate lust has to do with a desire for sexual intimacy with someone who is not your spouse. That kind of passionate lust is so dangerous because if it takes control of you on the inside, it controls you. It causes you to make horrible decisions in your life. And Paul warns us, don't let yourself fall to such a low level of living that you are doing things with like the unbelieving, irreligious, sexually immoral people do, fueled by uncontrolled urges that go on lurking around in your sinful heart. You've got to control your body and don't live like the unbelievers do. And by now you might be thinking, oh boy, what exactly am I supposed to do? Back to the original question, how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to live this kind of sexually pure life that God wants, considering what I'm up against? The first and best answer to the question is, you can't. You can't do that by yourself. As with every other aspect of our life, we need God's help. We need God's help. We need God to step in and take control. One thing that we can do, like we talked about with the kids, we can pray. We can pray that God would keep temptation and us separate as much as possible. We can pray that God would give us the courage and the discipline to say no to those temptations when they come along. Another thing that we can do, we can remember who we are. We're children of God. Our sins have been washed away in the waters of baptism. We are fully and freely forgiven children of God. Jesus paid for our sins with his own blood. They are gone forever. Jesus himself lives inside of us through faith. When we dwell on those beautiful, wonderful gospel truths, drives temptation away from our hearts and our lives. There's one more thing that we can do. You can actually tell somebody else about what's going on in your struggle against sin and temptation. Once you actually tell somebody else, it's not a secret anymore, is it? It's not a secret. And you can better manage those temptations because now there's some accountability in your life as well. Along those same lines, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to make some things available to you. So everyone should get one of these cards today. Everyone can take a brochure home. Conquerors Through Christ, it's an online tool to help people battle against temptation. And Covenant Eyes, same thing. Lots of resources that God makes available to his people these days that can help you, your family, your children, your friends battle against those temptations so that they don't ruin your faith and your life. All part of just saying no to sexual sins. What does God want from me? How am I supposed to do that? And the third question that Paul answered, why should I? Really, why should I? Why should I try to resist these temptations? Here's what Paul said. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. God was serious about this, wasn't he? I mean, Paul could say, look, if you're going to be serious about doing these things, then you should know God is going to punish you for it. If you want to answer the question, why should I? God will punish you and punish you severely if you are going to choose to live this way. You've been warned. But he didn't just stop there, did he? Instead, the Apostle Paul continued by saying this, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Paul reminded them what God had made them to be and the purpose that God had for them in their life. They were called to be children of God himself, fully forgiven of all of their sins. And God's will for their life, his purpose for their life, was to live a life of purity for him as a way of saying thanks for what he did for them. And that's the inspiration for us, isn't it? That's the answer to the question, why should I? It's because I know what God did for me. This is my loving response to him. Paul knew, didn't he? He knew what a Christian was up against living in a sinful world, in a culture that we have, especially when it comes to sexual sins and temptations. So he answered all the right questions for us today, didn't he? What does God want from me? He wants me to avoid sexual immorality in any way, shape, or form as best I possibly can. How am I supposed to do it? Well, I'm going to control my body in a holy way. I'm not going to live like the unbelievers do. And I understand this only comes with God's help. God will help me as I fight against temptation. And why should I? Because God called me to be a part of his family. And I want to avoid these temptations as my loving response to his love. May God help us to do all of these things for him. Amen.